is Holy Spirit our helper. He is here for us and here to see that we have a victorious, prosperous journey in Christ Jesus. And He'll never leave us and He'll never forsake us. And that's always good news. A couple years ago, for work, I was sent down to a shop to train for a robot arm that we have. I work at a manufacturing shop, and we do medical devices. Not that that matters, but anyway, the machines I work on, they were going to integrate a robotic arm for automatic loading of our parts. And so they sent me and another guy down there, and I, you know, definitely outside of my comfort zone, but without a doubt. But, you know, hindsight, it was a good experience. But I just remember it was a week-long training period, and there was a couple instructors, and I just remember that, you know, through the week, you're overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed. I didn't understand. I was kind of green. I'm just like, oh, my gosh, this is horrible. And as the week progressed, there was one point where I'm just, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I don't get this. Please help me to understand this. And at one point during the second part of the week, boom, something clicked. And it was just like, I don't know how to explain it, but I saw everything like it was clear. But this was just an introduction to this world that I was kind of stepping into, the robot thing and stuff. And I was going to be one of the people at work that would help program and adjust things and whatnot. Well, I was very comfortable. It was very comforting when I was there because I had instructors to help me when I made a boo-boo or when I had the robot. The speed of that arm at a 100% and accidentally hit go, and that sucker moved about 90 miles an hour. And fortunately, it was within this safe area, and I was in a safe area. But it's scary because the first day they show you all of the casualties over the years from robots, and that's a little sketchy. So that's just a scary end to build a respect for these things. Anyways, so there was a comfort there with those people. When I left, I don't know how to say it, but I was scared to be on my own, even though an engineer went with me, and we were going to kind of be a team. And then it was months and months and months and months and months. I'm saying like 6 to 9 months until we actually were able to use this machine. How many knows a lot of that information just fell right out of my head? And they call them integrators. They integrate machinery into our machinery, and they kind of marry them up and do all this stuff so they can work together in unison. And the integrators were there, and they had to train us on how to do what we had to do. And it was very comforting to know that they were there to help us through and hold our hand. But when they left, I did not like that. I felt very uncomfortable. I'm like, it's like they're like this little blankie. Like, no, I want people here all the time that can help me. I feel safe and I feel comfortable when they're here. And then when our engineer, who he's much, much brighter than me, his mind's a steel trap. It's crazy, but that's why he's an engineer. But even when he's around and kind of going through some stuff, it's comforting when he's there, and it's not comforting when he's not there. And if he has a week off, and then I have to go in and back up whoever's running these machines with these robotic arms, it's very, you know, it can be uncomfortable. And that's just kind of an illustrative picture. I started thinking about the disciples. And when Jesus was talking to them in John 14 and 15 and 16 in there, these disciples had walked with Jesus for 3 years and seen him do all these amazing things. And he was modeling how we are supposed to be on this earth. He was modeling the life of a child of God on this earth. And it was very, very uncomfortable to hear Jesus tell them, I gotta go. I'm going back to the Father. And they weren't real keen on that. They didn't understand at first, and then finally he had to plainly say it. But it was, I gotta believe, it was a very uncomfortable moment for them, a very scary moment for them. And you can tell, going fast forwarding a little bit to the cross, they all scattered. They all took off. Well, John remained. And Jesus asked him to look after his mother. But they scattered, just like Jesus said. And even reading through this, it almost was funny, but not really. And I think it was in John 15 where Jesus said, you know, there's going to come a time where when they kill you, they're going to think they're doing God's will. How'd that just breathe? Wait. What did you just say? I didn't see any of that dialogue in there. They might have said that, and it might have been what happened, but he was letting them know, you're going to lose your life for my sake. But I got to believe it was very discomforting for them to think about Jesus not being there. Because he was there. He was there to help them. And how often in our life do we try to do it ourselves? I mean, are we constantly doing that? I'm constantly doing that. I'm constantly in my own strength and my own ability trying to do life by myself. I'm trying to do my marriage by myself. I'm trying to do parenting by myself. I get into the workplace and I'm trying to do that by myself. And how many knows God doesn't want us to do things by ourselves? He doesn't want us to do things in our own strength. He doesn't, that's not the way His design is for our life. You know, Jesus was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. In the Word, it says that He didn't say anything that He didn't hear the Father say, and He didn't do anything that He didn't see the Father do. And He was always under the direction of the Holy Spirit, and so was the Apostle Paul. I'd say those are two great models to look at. And who do we think we are to discount the help of the Holy Spirit in our own life? And we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And we're gonna get into this in the next few minutes. We're gonna see some of this conversation, three verses out of the Gospel of John. John 15:26, Jesus says, "But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father, and He will testify about Me." That word advocate means comforter, encourager, and counselor. And last week when we heard about, on the last week of the series on our heart, Pastor Chad showed us what condemnation can do. And he also talked about, in short, about the Holy Spirit and Him convicting us of our righteousness. And He is our encourager. He is our comforter. He is our counselor. If you ever feel in your mind, your conscience is condemning you, and you're going along in your journey in Christ, and you feel that condemnation, and you feel discomfort, and you feel discouragement, it's not the Holy Spirit. He is our advocate. He is our comforter. He is our helper. And He is always going to testify of Jesus and His love for you. John 16:7 says, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send Him to you." And how many knows if Jesus said, "It's best that I go away," well, it's best. He wouldn't lie to us. I'm not sure if they were buying it, but they just had to hold on. John 16:13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And that's a lot like Jesus. Jesus spoke what he heard the Father say. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. So this verse says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And I thought, well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He will guide you. He will reveal more to Jesus, more of Jesus to us. He will reveal the truth to us, who is Jesus. And we should never fear. In this verse it says the Spirit of God will show us things to come. If we're all, see, as believers in Christ, in our journey, there should be no surprises. Maybe that's too general of a way to say that. But if the Holy Spirit is going to show us things to come, and we're always submitted to him and seeking his help. I've heard story after story after story of, say, just for instance, a parent and a child coming to the parent saying, I want to go here. And the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart and says, no, she shouldn't go. And then afterwards, this carload of friends gets in an accident and the exact seat she would have been sitting in, the vehicle was just completely smashed. She would have died, most likely. But time after time after time after time, the Holy Spirit will, if we're listening, if we're available, if we're not too much in a hurry, if we're not too allowing things to pressure and stress and anxiety fill our minds and our hearts, and we stop and we listen and we say, Holy Spirit, you show me things to come. Reveal to me the truth about this situation. Reveal to me this about my marriage. Reveal to me this about my kids. And just listen. He's here to help us. So how do we receive this promise of the Holy Spirit in our lives, this helper? And many of you already know. Many of you have already experienced what I'm about to talk about in the next few minutes. Luke 3:16, John the Baptist, we know who that is. But he spoke of Jesus saying, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now there's some back and forth, like when you're born again, when you receive Jesus as your Lord, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. I agree with that. That's true. Ephesians 1:13 says that we are actually sealed with the Holy Spirit. And I know Andrew Womack says we're vacuum sealed with the Holy Spirit in our spirits. 1 Corinthians 6:19 calls us, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so when we are born again, when we embrace Jesus, because he has embraced us, and we say, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. I believe that you died for me. God raised you from the dead, and I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. And our spirit man is renewed, reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't understand how it happens, but what was dead now comes to life. And the Holy Spirit comes and lives and resides on the inside of our spirit and seals our spirit. And I was thinking about this, and I don't think I ever had this thought, but baptized, we learn, I know Pastor Chad's taught this many a time, but baptized means to dunk, right? You can baptize your donut in coffee. Dunk your donut in coffee or whatever. Baptize your French fry in a chocolate shake. As the kids do. But baptism means to dunk. And so I thought, baptism in the Holy Spirit. I guess I'll just take it at face value. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're dunked into him, fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. And what is this fire? What does fire do? I saw this. Fire purifies us. Fire burns up things that are that won't last. There's a point where we're in the end of the road here. Everything in our life that wasn't of eternal value is going to be burned up, and the word refers to that as wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be a little bonfire, but we're going to come out clean. But I believe that that's what the fire of the Holy Spirit, and I don't believe that that fire it's talking about, that baptism fire, it's not supposed to go out. It's supposed to burn. I remember when I was a kid, I was 17, August, many, many moons ago. Heck, oh my gosh, 30 years ago. Wow, I was at a camp. And that's where I received this. We're going to get into this. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All I remember is I felt like, I can't explain it, but there was a reality of the Father that I never, you can't put it into words. Jesus became more real to me than I can ever explain. And many of us have been there. And I remember I didn't know about this verse really. I just knew that I saw people experiencing something more than just salvation. And I thought, I want whatever they got, whatever is happening to these people, I want this. I need this. I need this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I received it. And I just remember afterward, the desires in my heart, maybe the desires of just wasteful things, they weren't there. I had this burning desire for the things of God. I had this burning desire to spend time in the presence of God. I was drawn into the Father's love in this experience. And I really believe that that's what that's talking about. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But that's what I know what I've experienced. I know there's a verse in Psalms that says, to delight yourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And I was delighting myself in the Lord, and I found my desires changing my heart. My desires for Him. My desires for the things that He desired. And things changed. In Acts 1, 4 through 5, this is Jesus. These are His last words, at least documented to the disciples. How many knows the last words of Jesus is probably pretty important? Especially if you're sitting there talking with them. Acts 1, 4 through 5 says, once when He was eating with them, the disciples, this is after He died and rose again. He hung around for 40 more days. He commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift He promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power. And that word is dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus, if Jesus needed this, how much more do we need this? If Paul needed this, how much more do we need this in our life? Jesus' ministry, we see when He turned 30, and we see John the Baptist, Jesus was baptized in water and the Holy Spirit descended on Him as a dove. He wasn't a dove. As a dove. That was the moment there was the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and we saw the ministry of Jesus begin. How much more? See, I'm not in ministry. I don't preach. I'm not up there. I don't do stuff. No, you're in full-time ministry. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. Ministry is just serving. We all have ministry. We have full-time ministries. Maybe you're a full-time mom. That is your ministry. Maybe you work at a shop like me. That is a ministry. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit in us to be effective, more effective. I'm not looking for a way out of things that God has offered me. I'm not looking for a way around stuff. I want every single advantage offered me by the Lord Jesus Christ and his accomplished work at the cross. I want every single advantage he has for me to live a victorious life on earth. In Acts 2, 1 through 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see this, Jesus, what he promised the disciples, we see this happened. And I'm one that believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That is a tool. If you're not cool with that, then sorry, I'm going to side with the Bible on this one. 1 Corinthians 14:18 even says, Paul said that he prayed in tongues more than y'all put together. So, and he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, so I'm on his side too. 1 Corinthians 14:39 even says, don't forbid speaking in tongues. That's that and that alone. And we know that Pastor Chad has gone to this. I have mentioned these scriptures, but praying in the Holy Spirit, it's building an edifice. It's building up your spirit, man. And we're instructed to do that. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith, continually progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, pray in the Holy Spirit. So we're instructed to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to focus on the Holy Spirit as our helper. Because, I mean, in the last, however, you know, I was born again in 1983. But how many knows since 1983, I've not always been mindful of things, of God. I've forgotten things. And in this case, we're going to talk about the helper. And how many times I've forgotten that there is a helper that lives on the inside of me. And I don't want to forget that. And I know we've all been guilty of that one time or another, because then just from our day to, in our day-to-day routine, and the more time goes along, the more we can get into that day-to-day routine, and our minds and our hearts become whatever, callous, and we forget, wait a minute, God lives in me. And how does the Holy Spirit help us? We're going to look at a couple verses here, just talking about this. And I really pray this, the whole point of this, remember God lives in you. The Holy Spirit dwells inside you. He'll never leave us, and he'll never forsake us. And it's so easy just to say and throw these little truths out, but I want us to live this. I want us to experience this. I want us to walk in this goodness. Romans 8:26-27, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Do we have any weaknesses in here? I have a couple, I think. I can't think of them right now. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. The Holy Spirit is so good. He is constantly interceding and praying the will of the Father over us. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for the saints. Man, they're pulling for us. They're on our side. I looked up that word groanings because I was curious about what it meant, and it just said sighs. Sighs. S-I-G-H-S. And it's inexpressible in words. But the Holy Spirit is ever interceding for us. The will of the Father. So, let's agree with that. Maybe in our words, in our speech, in our thoughts. Maybe just say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are interceding for me, the very will of God, and I submit myself to the will of God. I submit myself. I receive those intercessions when I don't know how I ought to pray. Thank you for praying for me and through me. John 14, 26 says, the Father is sending a great helper, the Holy Spirit, in my name to teach you everything and to remind you of all I have said to you. I love everything and all in the Bible. It doesn't leave anything out. The Father is sending a great helper. I think this is the verse, but in another translation, it basically means one just like Jesus. He's not really leaving. Physically, he is, but he's not really leaving. He's actually coming to live on the inside of all of his kids. And that's awesome news. He'll help us in our marriage. He'll help us in our parenting. He'll help us in our jobs, like I already said. He always wants to help. He's the great helper, this verse says. He will help us make those life choices. You know, and going through the series on the heart, out of our heart come all the issues in our life. Out of our heart come all the issues in our life. He'll help us make those life choices in our spirit, in our soul, in our bodies, to choose life-giving food for our spirit, for our soul, for our bodies. We know what a strong spirit sustains a man. And God's will is that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers, our mind, our will, and our emotions. The Holy Spirit, if you allow him, he will help you to build that spirit man, to build a healthy soul, to even take care of your physical body, which is referred to as the temple of the Holy Spirit. He will lead us into all truth in each way. We are that triune being. And this is another simple way to say it. But the one who lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit, the great helper, knows everything about everything. I hear Pastor Keith Moore say that all the time. Everything about everything. The one who knows everything about everything lives inside of you. Acts 9:31 says, so the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace without persecution, being built up in wisdom, virtue, and faith, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort and encouragement of the Holy Spirit. It continued to grow in numbers, encouragement. Like that other verse said in John that we read earlier, he convicts us of our righteousness in Christ Jesus. And that is comforting and that is encouraging. He's never going to browbeat us. He's never going to whack us on the hand when we do something wrong. He's always going to point to Jesus. He's always going to comfort us. He's always going to bring encouragement and remind us, you have right standing with the Father because of Jesus. And he's always going to remind us of that accomplished work of Jesus on the cross. He's always going to speak good news to our heart. He's always going to affirm Jesus in our heart. And that's help. That's help. That's great help. Even if everybody around you speaks nothing but discouragement to you, you have an encourager living on the inside of you. We have an encourager. And I thought, going through in my mind just the journey and life in Christ over the years, the decades. I think how easy it is to forget, Lord, that you live inside of me. How easy it is to get caught up in life and the minutiae, the details, the stuff of life. But we get so caught up in life, and like I've said before, these messages are totally for me. You're just overhearing stuff. But I need to remember who lives inside of me. God inside minded. How do we keep ourselves ever mindful of the helper in us? And we need to become God inside minded. And I read a book a few years ago. I feel like I did a message on something related to the book. But the book was called, it's a classic, I guess. I can't remember the person's name, so forgive me. But the book is called Practicing His Presence. And he is ever present with us, whether it's in our marriage that's struggling or in our addiction that we can't seem to find freedom in, or whether we're in a hospital bed. He is there, ever present with us. In the midst of the storms of life, he's ever present with us. He'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. And I was reading this book, Practicing His Presence, and one of the ways that you practice his presence is just throughout your day, be mindful and thank him for his presence. And wow, how aware I became of God inside. God the Holy Spirit living inside of me. When I just paused, whether I was at work, I didn't feel goosebumps. I didn't feel warm fuzzies and cool breezes and the feathers of angels. They were feathers. Feathers? Wings of angels brush against my arms. But I just stopped and I said, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence in me right now in this place, in this noisy, smelly shop. Thank you for your presence in my life right now. And this person went on, and the book was a great book, and I would recommend it, Practicing His Presence. But it was just making yourselves mindful of who lives in you. Ephesians 5:18 through 20 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the King James says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. I'm more comfortable with that rather than speaking to you people and singing psalms and hymns to you guys. But that word be filled is a continual filling. It's not a one-time experience. It actually means being filled. Be being filled. It's a daily choice. When you're in your car, maybe you have a long drive, allow the Holy Spirit's presence just to overwhelm you in your vehicle. Just begin singing and worshiping. Choose maybe to change something in your life, to allow the atmosphere to change and to allow your thinking to focus on who lives on the inside of you. Or simply just pray, Holy Spirit, fill me today. I need your infilling. Stephen, the first martyr, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he did miraculous signs and wonders followed him. In Acts 13:52, it says, and the disciples were continually filled throughout their hearts and souls with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It's a continual filling. Our life in Christ is supposed to be a continual filling of the Holy Spirit. God wants us filled more than we want us filled. Do you realize that? He wants us filled. I'll go as far as to say he needs us filled to overflowing. We need us to be filled. Maybe you're like, no, I don't. I've done just fine all this time. Well, it's time to repent. And that just means change your thinking and start thinking the way God thinks. If he's saying the scripture in Ephesians to be being filled, I want to be being filled. Am I always filled? Be being filled? No. But I have a heart that wants what he wants for me, and I know you do too. Our spouses need us to be being filled.
Amen to that.
Yes, our kids need us to be being filled. Our grandkids need us to be being filled. Our workplace needs us to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Charis New Testament Church needs us to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens when you're filled and you're filled and you're filled and you're being filled? You start spilling out all over everybody else. You start overflowing. And it starts affecting people. It starts affecting environments. It starts affecting atmospheres. What if your whole family was constantly, continually being filled with the Holy Spirit every day? And everybody was spilling over everywhere. Imagine that. Imagine that. You're like, that sounds crazy. Who is this guy? I'm just one who wants everything God has for me. And I'm being real. This hasn't been my life every moment of every day, but when I see the Word of God tell me this, all I know is this. This life is possible. This life is possible. A continual filling of the Holy Spirit in our life is possible. A continual being absorbed with his presence and being mindful and ever aware of his presence inside of me is possible. Maybe you didn't know of this Holy Spirit. In Acts 19, 2 through 6, it says, "And he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." So maybe you're in this place and you didn't even know that there was such a thing as a baptism that we talked about in the beginning of the Holy Spirit. And it's salvation is not the end of the package deal. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many knows when Jesus was talking to his disciples in those last few words he was saying to them, that's some important stuff. And he was saying, don't go anywhere. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Do not do anything else. He didn't trust them. No way. I've been around you guys 3 years. There's no way you're doing this without the Holy Spirit. They can't. Even Mother Mary was in the upper room. Tongue-talking Mary. Don't tell any of your... Never mind. Boom shakalaka. All right. Luke 11:13 says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And just like salvation, God's not withholding anything from us. If you've never experienced that infilling, that baptism in the Holy Spirit that was promised, all you have to do is ask. Just like salvation. Just like salvation. Maybe you need to be reborn. Somebody asked a minister who is a great father in the faith, Kenneth E. Hagin, that is in heaven, been in heaven for quite a while, but asked him, what would happen if somebody was baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they weren't born again? And he said, well, they'd blow up. I thought that was funny, but I'm sure, I don't know. But maybe you just need to be reborn. In Romans 10, 9, and 10 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's as simple as that. And so is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You just say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you that I'm forgiven, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And now I want this. I want the baptism. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Fill me completely full of your Holy Spirit. And thank you for a new prayer language. Maybe you just need a fresh filling. Maybe you forgot that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. I don't know. But we're going to end the service. You know, maybe you're there again and you're just like, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I haven't experienced this and I kind of forget and whatever. But I would just ask that you would allow the Holy Spirit just to minister to you right now. We're going to listen to a song. I don't care what you do during the song. You can stand up. You can worship. And I'll end in prayer and we can be dismissed. We're going to listen to this song for just a few minutes. You can sit down and just, what I want you to do is just focus and just, if you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, just ask, Lord, help me to be mindful of the ever-present one, the great helper, the Holy Spirit inside of me. Fill me afresh today. Or if you desire the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to have you come up. If you do, you can let me know. Say, Jesus, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. But just take these next few minutes as we listen to this song. The lyrics are pretty simple, but you might have heard it, but you can sing along if you want. You can just meditate on his goodness. Wherever you're at, just take a few minutes. And realize that the great helper lives in you and he wants to continually fill you and make his presence known to you. Because it is so vital that we are aware of his help and his presence in our life. So, Matt, if you're all set, you can... Yeah. Hallelujah. My prayer is that you were just awakened. You would just awaken today. That's the reminder of who lives in you. The Holy Spirit, the greater one, the great helper lives in you. And maybe you're in this place and you think, no, I don't know if this was for me. Well, it wasn't on my heart for no reason. Maybe one of the 2,700 plus people that subscribe or download our podcast, it's for them. I don't know. I do know. I do know. It's for somebody. And if it's for just me, I'm good with that. But as we leave this place, as we go out of this place, be mindful of God inside of you, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. The greater one, the helper, lives in you, always wanting to comfort you, always wanting to encourage you, always reminding you of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, always pointing and testifying to the Lord Jesus Christ and who you are in him and who he is in you. And he wants to fill you continually to overflowing, to overflowing, to overflowing, so you spill out on everyone around you and you affect atmospheres and you affect people around you and you affect your families, and you affect you. Receive this truth and walk in this truth. Father God, I pray right now that you would just, by your Holy Spirit, remind us. Holy Spirit, put us in remembrance of this beautiful truth that you live and dwell on the inside of us, and you want us filled more than we want us filled. And may our desires, I bind your desires to our desires, that our desires may conform to yours, that we would want to be filled daily, that we would seek to be filled with a fresh filling every morning before we get out of bed. We just say, Jesus, fill me afresh today. Day with your precious Holy Spirit. I don't want to leave this place. I don't trust myself. I don't trust my own abilities, but no, I go in your abilities, filled afresh today with the Holy Spirit of the living God, the one who knows everything about everything. Thank you for your goodness in our lives, Lord. And I just speak blessing over this people, and I thank you. You saw us worthy to come and live inside. May we never take that for granted. May we never think the same anymore about this. In Jesus' holy, precious, and awesome name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.